The Lord's blessings on this Good Friday, may we all be drawn to the cross which God has blessed. Amen. In a world driven by marketing and advertising and fixated on entertainment, Good Friday seems a little out of step with the times. For there is nothing entertaining about the cross. There's no way to draw a smiley face on the crucifixion. No matter how you slice it, there is just no way to sell the cross or to make it attractive. There was nothing entertaining about watching our Lord die in agony on that tree. Not even we Christians are attracted to the cross because of its visual appeal. For even now, 20 centuries removed, our mental images of the crucifixion are visually disturbing. But beyond these horrific visual images, what we cannot see is the sins that impacted Jesus inwardly. For as it says in Isaiah, he was stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. Now, there were actual bystanders at the cross who mocked our Lord on the day he died. But it was not their cruel insults that brought the most shame upon Jesus. The greatest shame came from the punishment that God himself imposed upon his Son in order to atone for your sins. Our culture doesn't understand this because we put far too much value on personal happiness these days. At the same time, people seem to have far too little concern for what will happen to them once they die. God's Son's motive for going to the cross was to save us, not to make us happy. That's why we call it Good Friday instead of Happy Friday. You see, if God had shared the same selfish notion that he was entitled to personal happiness, then Christ would never have left his throne in heaven long enough to make the sacrifice to die in our place. As sinful people, we frequently act as if God somehow owes us a lifetime of happiness. And we can quickly turn on God and become critical of him if our life seems to come up short of our expectations. But if you get right down to it, we are the ones who have brought God the unhappiness. And certainly the cross reveals a God who is very unhappy, even angry with sin and with sinners. Our sins required the kind of extreme punishment that we see on the cross, where Jesus was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. Jesus suffered in our place because he loves us, not because he was obligated to save us, and certainly not because crucifixion made him happy. In the same way, our Lord was not incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary to make us happy. He was not made man and crucified for us under Pontius Pilate to make us happy. It was not to make us happy that he suffered and was buried and rose on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. You see, Jesus is interested in more than our momentary moods and those fleeting emotions that we call happiness. But it was his burning desire to give us nothing less than eternal joy. And so our Lord Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame, setting aside his own happiness, and all for the joy of what lay beyond the cross. For he knew that he could bring us life out of his death. And he did this even though it meant that he had to set aside his happiness and endure our shame. Tonight we talk about Jesus as that Lamb of God who bore our shame, as we have sung in that hymn throughout Lent. Most of you know the outward historical events of Good Friday very well. You know our Lord was nailed to the cross around 9 a.m., that he hung there in bitter agony for 6 hours, and that utter darkness descended from noon until he expired with a loud cry, "It is finished," around 3 p.m. But I'd like you for a moment to try to visualize things that couldn't be seen if you had been there that day. The great inner soul struggle that Jesus endured for us while he was on that cross. For it was not only the Jews or the Romans who caused Christ pain, but Isaiah says, "The Lord himself has laid on him the iniquity of us all." In order to imagine this, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think of any sin that you have ever committed that has haunted you and stayed with you afterwards. I want you to think about the secret shame that you have lived with, possibly for years, because of some sin in your dark past. Maybe you never shared this sin with anyone, maybe not even your spouse. And even though confession is good for the soul, perhaps you remain silent because you feel too much embarrassment, too much shame and remorse. Or perhaps you have hesitated to come forth because you fear you might lose someone's acceptance. And think how many times you have gone to God in prayer over this sin, asking him to relieve your conscience from the guilt of that one particular sin. Think of the crippling burden of carrying so much shame around from a single sin. Think of the damage this sin has done in your conscience as you have attempted to live out a new life in Christ. And then think of your fears at times when you have thought, "What if God were to reveal my sin and my shame at the judgment?" Now I want you to expand your spiritual experience exponentially onto Jesus Christ. I want you to multiply the psychological pain, the emotional shame, the theological guilt that you feel over that one sin. And I want you to multiply that a trillion times over and over again. For while he was nailed to the cross, the shame of an entire world of sinners and sins fell upon his shoulders. His conscience was tortured and literally overwhelmed with torturous condemnation, not for his own sins, for he was sinless, but with the sinful condemnation of every sin that you and I and the rest of the world has committed from the beginning of time to its conclusion. He was overwhelmed by guilt and shame because his Father punished him for our sins as if they had been his own. The outcome was shame and death for him, but eternal life and peace with God for us. Much more happened on that day when Christ died than meets the eye. For as Jesus was taking all our sin and shame upon himself, he was doing something else. Remarkably enough, He was shifting his innocence over to us. Christ was exchanging our shame and our sin for his innocence, so that you and I can approach God with a good conscience, with a conscience clean and cleansed by the blood of Christ. You can have great confidence to call upon a loving Heavenly Father. It is faith in the crucified Christ that gives you the confidence that your God has put away your sins and that he loves you unconditionally. And it's by trusting in this great exchange that was made on the cross that you are made certain that one day God will receive you gladly into heaven. Tell me that's not better than temporary happiness. The result of his cross and his death on the cross is beautiful. And yet the crucifixion itself was a very ugly event. Jesus carried the weight of our sins on his heart. He was the true Lamb of God who bore our shame without complaint. And this is why he looks so bad on a day we have come to call good. If you and I had passed underneath the cross that day, there would have been nothing about that bent and twisted and distorted figure of a man that would have attracted us to him. In fact, the holy prophet Isaiah records that had we seen Jesus hanging on the cross, that he had no beauty or majesty that would have attracted us. Nothing in his appearance that would have made us desire him. For his beaten and distorted figure looked repulsive. On the day that Christ died, he did not look brave or heroic in a way that we may have pictured him. Even though he would emerge on Easter victorious, on the day he died, he looked pitiful and pathetic. Isaiah says he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering. And like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. On that day, it looked as if Jesus was the greatest sinner who had ever lived. Hanging from that cross between two thieves made him look guilty just by association. Isaiah records, "We considered him to be stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted." It looked as though Jesus deserved to die. For otherwise, why would God be punishing him? But this only points out the fault of our sinful logic. When bad things happen to people, we tend to assume that they must be getting what they deserve. We imagine that somehow God must be punishing them. And yet we cannot judge by the way our life goes, how God feels about us or about anyone else. God's ways are higher than our ways, and God often works in ways opposite to sinful logic. For example, never was our Savior more glorious and more noble and more righteous than in his shame as he hung from the cross. And just as paradoxically, it was Christ's sorrow on the cross that brings you joy. It is Christ's suffering that brings you comfort. It is his death that brings you unending life. It is his condemnation that brings you forgiveness. And so, my friends, if you are ever tempted to doubt God's love for you because there are troubling, disturbing events going on in your life, I beg you, take another look at the cross. For what looked like a great tragedy, what looked like the greatest injustice ever, was actually perfect victory and perfect justice. For in the cross, God had found a way to punish your sins without having to punish you. So that no matter what you are going through in your life, the cross will always stand as proof that your God loves you in life and in death. For at the cross and amid great agony of body and soul, the Son of God opened the very heart of God for us all to see. And there were things inside that were not as we expected. For hidden under Christ's agony and his suffering, what we see is God's love for us in action. No one would give up himself or his son to save another. But at the cross, God our Father sacrificed his son, his only son, the son he loved and treasured, to remove the curse of sin and its shame from us. Here on the cross, our sin and shame are removed. For in his cross and by his death, the Lamb of God has simply taken it all away. Isaiah says, he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, strangely enough, we are healed. And so the cross teaches us that things are not always as they seem. For the cross looked weak, but we know that it is really God's power to save those who believe. The cross looked foolish, but there is a wisdom from God in the cross, who found a way to remove our sins. And Jesus looked utterly humiliated and defeated by his enemies. And yet on the cross, we Christians know that it was the greatest day of triumph over our enemies. Sin and shame, fear and doubt, dread and death and devil. May you always glory in that cross. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds clinging to the cross until that day you meet Jesus in heaven. Amen.